Into Acts, we'll be there tonight, all right? 1 Kings chapter 2 this morning. I want to read two verses and really concentrate on a statement that's in one of those verses this morning. And I hope you'll listen on purpose, okay? Listen on purpose. 1 Kings chapter 2, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." The remaining words here after these verses, Paul, David the king, gives a charge to his son Solomon, and he has some things to tell him. But I don't want to go that far this morning. I want you to notice that phrase and that statement right at the first of verse 2, where David said, "I go the way of all the earth." I go the way of all the earth. David was nearing the end of his life, and he knew it. He knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. He didn't deny it. Some people, when faced with death, want to deny it. He did not deny it. Neither did he fear death. A lot of people today are very much afraid of death. Now, I don't look forward to dying because the process can be bad. But as far, now, if I can go like Mom did, that'd be wonderful. That would just be great, you know. Or, go like Brother Curtis. Brother Curtis was watching TV in his recliner, and he went from there to heaven. And it was very quick, and if I can go that way, that'll be all right. But don't fear death itself. So David didn't deny it. He didn't fear it. He simply faced it. And he referred to it as going the way of all the earth. You know, you think about it, that's a good way to put it. Because all the earth is headed for death. All the scientists today tell us that the earth itself is winding down. And it is. The alarmists among those try to tell us we're killing it. You know, they're trying to tell us by using fossil fuels and our refusal to recycle and our, you know, failure to be conservative and using conservation that we're going to destroy the earth. Well, this old earth is headed for it's actually headed for the furnace. And the Bible said it's going to be burned up. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. All right? Hey, the truth is that this world is destined for death, and all living things eventually die. All living things eventually die. Some live longer than others. I understand the snapping turtle is a long-lived creature. I guess it helps if you live underwater most of the time. I don't know. But they're going to live. But, whatever it is, all living things die. No matter how long you live, you will die. So if all of that's so, one thing we ought to consider is death. One thing we ought to consider is death. You say, "Preacher, I came this morning for an exciting, uplifting message." Well, okay, we'll get through this then, all right? Hey, the truth of the matter is we're going to die. Number one, you ought to plan for it. You ought to plan for it. You know, so many people act like, "Well, I'm never going to die. It's never going to come." Well, it will. It will. It's the common experience for men. It's the one common experience for men. Some people have jumped out of airplanes. Some people pay money to get in a perfectly good airplane, climb up to 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 feet, and then jump out when there's nothing wrong with the airplane. Now, if you've had that experience, good for you. I never have, and don't plan to. Some people go and hook their bungee cord to their ankles and dive off a bridge. I've never had that experience. I don't plan to have that experience. Don't plan to. Some people have gotten the news that they won the lottery. And they're now going to be bestowed millions and millions of dollars. I've never had that experience. Never will, because don't play the lottery. Never had that. But I guarantee you, there's one experience all of us will experience. If the rapture doesn't occur, we're going to die. Death is coming. We might as well plan for it. In Genesis 5, the Bible begins kind of a recitation of men that have lived. And every one of them, at 8 different times we find in that chapter, and he died. And he died. Because that's the common experience for man. There ought to be a certain expectation of death. Now, by that, I don't mean you should go through life going, is it going to be today? Don't want you to go through life that way. But in planning for death, I think you ought to consider those that are going to be left behind. You ought to be doing that. You ought to consider them. Don't pile up a huge amount of debt for your loved one to have to deal with after you're gone. Don't do that, all right? Hey, I believe you ought to make funeral plans. And let those plans be known. Don't wait until you've passed off the scene and it becomes your children or somebody else's deal. You make the plans. You make the plans. Plan for the way you want it. I've had several people tell me, preacher, I want you to preach my funeral. Some of them, I'm not sure I'm going to outlive them. So they might ought to think about plan B, all right? But, I've had them tell me, preacher, I want you to preach my funeral and I want you to sing this song. I'm thinking, you keep living, I won't be able to sing that song because my voice is not going to last, you know. But that doesn't mean I want them to die because I don't, all right? And most people don't do it, but you ought to plan for death. You ought to plan for death. Hey, I'm going to say something here, not to upset anybody. But we live in a day when cremations are becoming more and more common, and in most instances, it's because people don't plan for death. People don't plan for death. And it's mostly done from an economical standpoint. Now, I'll shake you up. You say, well, preacher, I've had loved ones cremated. I'm not saying to you God won't forgive them or anything. But I'm telling you this. The Bible picture of death is burial. Burial. That's the Bible picture. It is the burial. The truth of the matter is it's heathens, it's pagans that burn bodies. You check it out in their history, and that's the ones that do it. But the problem is we don't plan for it. Most people waste enough money in life to take care of their funeral expense if we just wouldn't waste the money. You say, well, it costs too much. Hey, you don't have to have the Cadillac of caskets, all right? Man, you don't have to do that. I'm glad my mom and dad had prepared. They had it all pre-planned. It was all laid out. And man, we just went down to the funeral home and we just picked the day, really. You know, everything was already taken care of. What a blessing it is. Hey, that's good. That is good. Hey, you ought to plan for death. You with me? You ought to plan for it. It's coming. Unless you go in the rapture, you can't get out of this world alive. The truth of the matter is, according to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, we can't even count on tomorrow. Bible says there, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. Hey, you better plan for death. But not only should you plan for it, you need to prepare for it. You need to prepare for death. Now, I've mentioned some ways in planning for death. I think you ought to do that. And those things are wise, and you should do it. You know, taking care, maybe making out the will. Let your children know each one which bill they'll need to pay when you're gone. You class those things out. The distribution of your assets, who gets, you know, your favorite cat or whatever. And you ought to plan for death. You ought to land those things, prepare for it that way. But that's not the most important way. The most important thing you need to do is be sure you're born again. Be sure you are born again. You're going to depart this life one day. Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, talking to Nicodemus, said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Hey, don't get upset at the preacher. This is not the words of Brother Mosley. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, ye must be born again. And nowhere in the Bible is that new birth tied to any specific church. It's not tied to a church. It is not tied to any action you take. It's tied to one thing. That new birth, that salvation is in a person, and it is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on the earth, he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his reason for coming. He literally came to die. He was born to die for your sin and mine. Hey, look, you have to understand this. Our sin extracts a price. There's a price. We like to think of freebies. Let's face it, who doesn't enjoy freebies? And if they're giving it away free, I'm interested. I'm interested. But I know this, there's not anything truly free. There's things free to me, there's things free to you, but somebody paid for it. Most everybody sitting in here, you got something for Christmas. You got a gift, didn't cost you anything. Talking to a fellow yesterday, and he said he got a PlayStation 6? Five, all right. I don't know how many there is. Quit doing that over there. I'm ignorant about these things, all right? So he got a brand new PlayStation 5, all right? She's over there because she's thinking, preacher knows nothing about what he's talking. And she's right. I don't know anything about all that stuff, all right? But he seemed excited about it, all right? Good. It was free to him. But somebody paid for it. Somebody paid for it. You said, preacher, could have been somebody snuck in and stole it. But I got news for you. Somebody paid for that, too. Somebody paid for that, too. The only, when we talk about salvation being free, it is free. But it's free to us. But a great price was paid for our salvation. Hey, that being born again, if you're going to prepare for death, you've got to prepare by being born again. That new birth is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to trust Him as your Savior. You have to put your faith in Him. You've got to trust Him. You've got to turn to Him. You've got to call upon Him and ask you to forgive you for being a sinner. Ask Him to save your soul. Call upon Him for eternal life. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Verse 9, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Gift of God. Hey, that means you cannot, are you with me? You cannot earn it. You cannot earn it. No matter how good you do, no matter how much good deeds you pile up, no matter how much you give to the folks that ring the bells at the red pots at Christmas, I'm not against those things, and you being generous, that's a good thing. But none of that will get you to heaven. None of that will get you to heaven. And I just want to emphasize that because there's so many people today that are under the impression, I'm good, so I will get to heaven. No, if you get to heaven, you'll go through His Son, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid our sin debt. Hey, if you're going to prepare for death, you need to be born again. That new birth is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You remember the day you got saved? Man, I remember it was the evening, the night, Sunday night. Sunday night I got saved. I remember that night. I remember that night. I don't remember what the preacher preached on. Don't remember any of that stuff. I remember getting saved. I remember saying, Lord, save my soul. I want to be saved. Hey, it's a simple thing, but it's an absolute necessity. Necessity. Preacher, I'm going to get there on my good deeds because I'm going to stand before God and He's going to weigh my good deeds over here and my bad deeds over here. And if my bad deeds outweigh my good deeds, I'll go to hell. But preacher, I've been working real hard so my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. Now, the problem with that is what the Bible says. Because what the Bible says is all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Filthy rags. That's the best we can do. Best we can do. Hey, by the way, I'll ask you the same thing I've asked other people. If you can get to heaven being good, why did Jesus have to die? Why did they crucify him? Why did they beat him? Why did they spit upon him? Why did he have to endure that? Why did he have to endure that insulting, humiliating experience? Why did he have to go through that pain of being nailed to that cross, hanging there, dying one of the most indescribable deaths you can die if you're going to heaven because you're good? Why did he die? Oh, you must be born again. Oh, I plead with you this morning, not only plan for death, but prepare for death. Prepare for death. Say, preacher, I'm good. I trusted my Savior. I know the day I got saved, as the song says, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Good, I'm glad. Then you need to prepare for after death. You need to prepare for after death. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, would you? I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 9 with me this morning. I honestly and truly, as I look at the folks that are here, from your own testimony, I believe most of you have prepared for death. You may not be really planning for it, and you haven't planned, but you ought to plan, but you've prepared, you've trusted Christ, you've called upon Him, you've asked Him to save your soul, and you're headed for heaven, and that's good. But what about after death? Hebrews 9, verse 27 says this, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die." But would you look at the next three words? "But after this." It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this. After death, the Bible says the judgment. The judgment. Death is not the end of it all. It's not it, all right? The truth of the matter is this body you're looking at right here is not the real me. The real me is a very good-looking fella. I forget that part. But hey, the real me is on the inside. This is the body. This body's going to die. It's dying already. He said, preacher, you have some dread disease? Yes, called being human. I'm going to die. Brother Oftedal and I were talking before church. He was standing up. Everybody, I said, come in. They were sitting down. I said, preach, I agree with you, brother. I don't blame you. I'd sit down either. It's too hard to get back up. Hey, these knees rebel against up and down, all right? They don't like up and down too much. What's going on? Well, this whole body's dying, okay? Now, they can pamper it, they can pet it, they can work on it, but it's going to die. All right, but what about that? I'm going to live forever. You're going to live forever somewhere. You're going to live forever somewhere. You might say, well, preacher, I'm saved, I'm okay. Good, good. Salvation means you will not meet your sins after death. Glory to God. Not going to have to meet them again. But that's still not the end of it. You will be judged. There's more to be judged for than your sins. Let me explain. If you've trusted Christ, then your sins were judged in Christ on the cross. The debt's been paid. The penalty's been paid. You'll not face them anymore. But there's some things you've done since then. Now, I'm not talking about sins. There's some things that are going to be judged. more than sins. Take your Bible to Romans chapter 14. Some of you looking at me like, preacher, you sure you know what you're talking about? Yeah. It's in the Bible. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I want to look at several verses here. The Bible says in Romans 14 verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want to remind you who that all is. That all is Christians, people that are saved. Because the book of Romans was not written to folks that are lost. It was written to people that are saved. All right? It was written to the saints. All right? It's written to them. And it says, to them we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Man, we're going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. You're going to have to stand before Him. And the Bible teaches, just turn over, the next book after Romans is the book of 1 Corinthians. Well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice the Bible talks about this judgment, and it talks about it as a fiery judgment. As a fiery judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 13. He said, what's going to be judged? Verse 13, every man's work. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Bible says there's a day of judgment coming, and the thing that is going to be judged is our works. What you have done in this life. What you have done. What have you done for God, all right? Have you done anything that's going to stand the test, that fiery test? The Bible talks about wood, hay, and stubble in verse 12. It also talks about gold, silver, and precious stone. Hey, whatever your work is, if it's tried by fire, some of it could be burned. You know, I believe one of the things that will be examined at the judgment seat of Christ is our motives. Why did you do what you did? Well, I did it because I wanted somebody to take notice of me. Me. I want you to see me. Hey, wait a minute. I believe your motive is going to be judged. You'll face a test. That motive ruined that work. Might have been a good thing you did. Might have been a good deed you did. But your motive was all wrong. Just because somebody else could see it. It's kind of like goofy football players. I used to enjoy watching football. I've got where, especially professional athletics, fella goes and he does something. I was watching a college game the other day, and fella gained about 10 yards. He rolled over, and then he strutted a while. I thought, holy cow, son, all them big boys up front knocked all them other big boys down, and that's the only reason you got past the first line anyway. It ain't all you. I'll tell you this, life's not about you. Life's not about you. God's left us here as His people to serve Him. And the Bible says our works are going to be judged. What have we done? What have you done for Him? Hey, you're going to prepare for life and prepare for after death. Prepare for after death. Don't live your life selfishly. Don't consume your life just satisfying the flesh. Oh man, so many people do. So many people do. Our whole life is lived just based on what I want to do. What do I want? What will satisfy me? What will satisfy this old flesh? What will make me feel good? Hey, look, don't live your life that way. If you're going to prepare for after death, you need to think about how's it going to look when I stand before God. How's it going to look when I stand before Him? Hey, you and I need to live in accordance with the Bible, because one of these days you're going to meet the one that wrote it. Going to meet Him. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Look at the next verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hey, we ought to be in the business of persuading men. We ought to be in the business of doing something that would honor our God. Taking this life. Hey, look, He died for you. He went to the cross. All that agony, He did it for you. For you. He went to the cross, paid your sin debt for you. All that He's done for you, and then turn around and give you eternal life, a free gift. You didn't have to pay anything. You didn't have to work one bit to get it. And by the way, you don't have to work to keep it. It's a gift. It's a gift. But because you got it. If I'm going to prepare for after death, I need to be conscious of what I'm doing here. What am I doing to honor Him? Now, I want to say it. Live so the preacher can recount your life at your funeral and bless the folks that are there. Heard a guy say one time, you ought to live so the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral. Did you hear about the gangster that went to the preacher? And he said, look, my brother's just died. I don't want you to preach his funeral. He said, but I want you to say he was a saint. Trouble was, the brother was the same gangster the one talking to the preacher was. And he said, preacher, if you'll do that, I'll pay you $10,000. Preacher said, all right, I'll take it. So he got up, he's preaching the funeral. He's standing there preaching the funeral. He said, every one of you folks in here knew this guy. You knew what he was. You knew how he lived. Some of you, he strong-armed and took money from you. You knew about that he was a drunkard. He was a doper. But he went past that. He sold dope. He manufactured dope. He made his living in every illicit way you can imagine. But I want you to know, compared to his brother, he was a saint. Now, if that's your life, don't ask me to preach it and say you're a saint, all right? But I do say this to you. We will stand before God. We're going to give an account before Him. What are you going to be able to do? What works are you going to stand? I'm talking about preparing for after death. When you stand in judgment, what is it you're going to be able to say, Lord, here's what I did for you. Here's what I did for you. Here's what I did for you. Now you be careful, because your mind may be thinking right now. Be careful, but you look when you want to say, well, I did this for Him. Be careful that there wasn't some underlying motive that wasn't all about the Lord. What have you done to prepare for after death? There's an old song that contains these words. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Oh, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? And I'll be honest with you, there's a question right there we all ought to consider. We all ought to consider. David said, I go the way of all the earth. You're headed that way too. Now, there's some of you young ones All right? Some of you young ones, you look up here, you look around, you say, I got a lot longer before I get there than they do. You better be careful. Better be careful. You go to the cemetery. You go to the cemetery and you read the dates on those tombstones. You'll find that there's a lot of people buried there that didn't live very long. You're not assured, as I've already said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. But what have you done for Jesus? You're going all the way of the earth. Have you planned for that? Have you planned for death? Have you prepared for it? Are you prepared should death come for you? Are you prepared? Are you ready to stand in judgment before the God that knows all about you? Ready for that? Now I want to say you've got some time to do something about it. So what are you going to do? If you haven't planned, well, you can plan. If you haven't prepared, especially if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you do that today? Would you do that today? So, preacher, what do I need to do? In a moment, I'm going to be standing right down there. We're going to have everybody stand. The pianist is going to come. The organist, Brother Marion, will come up. He's going to lead a song of invitation. He's going to lead just as I am without one plea. I said, how do you know? Because I just told him that's what he's going to lead. So we're going to sing just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. If you just walk this aisle, meet me right here at the front and say, preacher, I know I need to trust Jesus. And we'll have somebody open the Bible and make sure you know exactly what we're talking about. That you're ready and you're prepared to meet him. Prepared for death. A Christian, you're here this morning. What about after death? Are you prepared? Are you preparing? You need to be. What are you doing for him? What are you doing for him? Something to consider. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning knowing the truth of the Word of God. Lord, death is not an exciting subject. It's not something that we like to think about. But Lord, it's something we better plan for. It's something we better make preparation because we know it'll overtake us. Lord, would you help us to be cognizant of that fact this morning? To realize, to remember, to think. We're going to meet you one day. We're going to give an account of ourselves. Oh, dear God, would you help us to be honest with ourselves today? If we're not ready to go, if we're not challenged, we haven't accepted Christ, Lord, I pray people would come today and accept you. Lord, if we got folks here that haven't really prepared for after death, would you deal with them? Lord, you speak to their heart. Help them to do what they need to do today. Use the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing Just As I Am without one plea? God's dealing with you. Would you come today? Would you just come? Spend some time at the altar or meet me here if you need to be saved. God's speaking. God's calling. Would you come? Come on. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Would you bow your heads just for a moment, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? As the instruments play softly, listen, how about you? Listen, it's time to face the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not assured of that salvation, why put it off? Why put it off? Why wait till tomorrow? Why wait till next Sunday? Why even wait till tonight? Why don't you get saved right now?